at Jesus. You know, it seems to be the hardest thing in the world for us to let the Lord change us and do His work in us. We're working so hard to try to change ourselves. But you know what? He has a plan all laid out. He never asks you really to do much except to listen to His Word. And when you listen to His Word, well, we'll just turn. I'll show you. Romans 12. This is all He asks of us. A lot of people think, well, you know, if I come to the Lord, I can't drink no more. I can't smoke no more. I can't take drugs anymore. I can't whatever. But that's not what the Lord said. This is what He said. I remember Brother Hagin said one time, this young girl said, that's back when dancing was a sin, you know. And she said, well, I'd come to the Lord, but I'd have to quit dancing. I said, no, you just come on to the Lord. Just come on to the Lord. You can keep dancing. What?
He said you can dance all you want.
Yeah. Anyway, and then later she comes back after she got born. She says, you know, the want to's gone. See, God does the changing. It's not up to you to do the changing. You can beat yourself up and you can have a life of misery trying to change yourself. I know. I can tell you firsthand, we all try to change ourselves. We can't do it. And that's why God sent Jesus, is because He knew you couldn't do it. That's what grace is all about. It's empowerment that comes on you to do things that you normally can't do. Like I can't stand up here and talk to you without the grace of God. I didn't call myself. I wouldn't call myself to do this. But God called me to do this. So I do it, and it's by the grace of God that I do what I do. People say, oh, no way could I go on television. I said, you think I could? No. It's the easiest thing I've ever done. Why? God's grace. I mean, it's smooth. It's like putting oil in the engine. You can't run your car without oil. But that's the way grace is. It helps you, you know. Something comes easy to you. That's grace. It's not about toil. We looked, was it last week, about the man that toiled in the garden? God had a perfect garden. He set the garden up. He said, I just want you to tend to it. And the devil came and tricked him, got it away from him, and then what happened? Man returned to toiling, sweat of his brow. Living and dying, and the system steals your money anyway. You pile up Social Security all your life, and what happens when you die? They take it out of your account. They get all of it. They're thieves. The system's a thief. Well, the devil's a thief. It's his system. So the only thing God asks you to do is this, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world. That's that other narrative that they listened to in the garden that caused them to go from a perfect place of free from stress and toil, any care of any kind, to a system that they were under the lash. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what the Word of God does. I remember somebody asking me, well, I just don't understand. It makes no sense to me. I just don't get anything out of it. And I said, you just keep reading it because your spirit understands it. And your spirit eventually will cause that knowledge to come to your head and you will see it. But it's to feed your spirit, man. You're a spirit. You have a body. You have a soul. That's your emotions, your will. That's the part that gives you trouble. But only God can change you. The Word, His Word. He sent His Word and healed us. We're going to look at God's health care this morning. He sent His Word and healed us. And that's not just physical, spirit, soul, and body. Really, I believe the spirit, when you're born again, the spirit's perfect. I don't believe we have to work on our spirit. I believe it's the soul. This is what gives us trouble. So it gave the woman in the garden trouble. Her soul got her into trouble. It caused her to reason from what God said to what the devil had said, which was a lie. So all He asks us to do is to renew our mind with His Word. It's called the washing of water by the word. What does it do? It washes the brainwashing from this beast system that we're under. We've been under it since the fall in the garden. This is the beast system. It's not going to be here one day. It's been here all along. It has done nothing but brainwash us through lots of means and lots of measures. I talk about the television being the image of the beast. People became comatose in front of a television. They don't want to do anything. They just go home from their job, they're tired, they flop in a chair and they watch the idiot box. And then we wonder why they act that way. It's because you've had your mind renewed. It's just on the wrong side. But the Word of God, what it will do, it will wash out all of that MK Ultra, all that propaganda, all those things that cause us to think certain ways. Because see what it does, it affects your thought life, and that's the part where you make decisions. And as Christians, God wants us to hear from here, not from here, because it's when we get here, we get in trouble. That's where reasoning comes in, and you don't, you know. Okay. All right. This is the word of the Lord he gave to me. This was on 3/21/21. I know a few of you have heard it, but some haven't. This is called the Magic Kingdom. I was fixing to do a television shoot back in March, and I get up early about 4 o'clock, and I was praying in the Spirit, and this word came to me, so I wrote it down. It says, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is opposing my word and my ways, like David and Saul. Do you think that I have resorted to magician's tricks? I'm insulted by this. Just as Moses' rod represented my word, so Moses' rod withstood the witch doctors, Jannes and Jambres. Moses' rod swallowed up the witch doctors' serpents' rods. God's word is his rod. This is how much more powerful my word is over the word of the witch doctor. Just as Asa became ill, but he did not consult me, he consulted the witch doctors and he died. He did not even consult my word. Follow the money, for the love of it is the root to all evil. They must keep you coming with their lotions and spells. For you see, there's no money in cures, like COVID, for example. I've had enough of their trickery. Their trickery just gets more advanced and enticing. And men seek their enticing trickery over my word. They even say that I use witchcraft. You hear it all through the church, well, God uses medicine. He uses his medicine, but he doesn't use the system's medicine. Men do. I say nay, I'm insulted by this. Come out, my people, and leave Babylon behind. Time to stop paying attention to the pyramids. Jackie, would you bring that big poster with the pyramid on it, please, up front? Stop paying attention to the pyramids. Just bring it all, would you? I'm sorry. You can bring it too. We'll just bring it all. We might as well. Notice the pyramid, the control of the system. They're trying to tell you what you need to eat, what you need to drink. They tell you how to dress. They tell you what to do in every form and fashion. Yeah. They've even distorted our whole earth. That's a flat earth map. Everything they say is a lie because their leader is the father of lies. Why would you expect him to tell you the truth about anything? All right, it's time to leave the pyramids behind. See, all these are the best foods and these are the worst. Well, you know, we're to pray over our food and call it clean and it's all good. But the thing is, I'd be willing to say anything they say that I ought to do, I ought to do the opposite, because that's probably the truth. And he said, I am well able to take care of you. As I brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were laden with silver and gold. There was not a weak or sick person among them. And these were slaves. I mean, literal slaves. felt the lash on their back every day, and they came out without any sickness or disease. I provided water in the desert with water from the rock. I protected them with a pillar of fire by night and led them with a cloud by day. I'm still the same, yes, yesterday, today, and forever. Come out, my people, come out and let me be Jehovah Jireh, your provider. God wants to provide for us. He never meant for man to toil. He meant for him to have that perfect garden where he had supplied gold. If you go read the first chapter and the second chapter, he put gold and all the metals and everything for man to have a rich, lavish life in the garden if he'd just tend it. I will not be angry with those coming out from under the witchcraft. I will allow my word to renew them to my ways. The world's ways are not my ways. My rod will provide for them. The ways of Babylon will no longer be second nature, but my ways will be. I will be the first one they think about and call out to. Instead of everybody and their dog, and whenever they leave you to die, well, finally, well, we might go get prayer, you know, maybe that might work. Under the magic kingdom, their trickery knows no bounds. It's an agenda that steals, kills, and destroys. My word brings life, and that more abundantly. Symptoms, symptoms, symptoms. They are nothing but lies. It's all been Satan's illusion, magician's tricks. I've told the story before to them, but I'll tell it for y'all's sake. Back a few years ago when we came to Louisville and we went to that museum, on that second floor was all medical diagnosting. And whenever I went in there, there was a machine that detected something by the light turned this color, you had this cancer. If it didn't, it turned that other color. The Lord said, it's all trickery. And if your number's up, it's up. If you think, well, you know, the big ribbon campaigns rush to get your test, well, it's random. Come on. Trickery, magician's tricks. It's all been Satan's illusion, magician's tricks, Satan's trickery in disguise. This kept the masses coming through potions, procedures, testings, and spells, and usually brings no lasting cure, but causes men to become addicted. Most never get better, but only worse. Just like the little woman with the issue of blood, she spent all she had on the physicians and was no better, but grew worse. I personally watched this in my own life through family and friends. Over 10, 12, 20 years going, and now this surgery and that surgery and this medication and that medication, and they just get worse and die. Round and round the mountain they go until one day another one bites the dust. Which they just laugh in glee because that was the agenda in the first place. Leech, leech, they cry, never enough, until everyone is penniless, sick, and falls and returns to dust. Come out, my people, no longer feed their machine. I'm going to expose and bring it all down, Big Pharma. This is a new day and a new hour, and men will see my mighty power. It will be impossible for anyone to say that I am not in it. It is biblical. What's happening today is biblical. Whether most of the church doesn't recognize it or not, who cares? I don't care anymore. Either they're going to hear or they're not going to hear. I'm not going to plead with anybody anymore. I'm not going to try to get anybody to listen. Somebody brings somebody. The other day, somebody's working on our fountain. I tell you what, I thought I could have stood out there for all day, and he would have stood out there all day and listened to everything that was just pouring out of my mouth. He was so hungry for the truth. The whole earth is under the magic kingdom, just like Sleeping Beauty asleep for 100 years under the witch's spell. Now the prince has rendered his kiss so that you can come out from under the magic spell and learn and know my ways. I will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be nothing that will harm or hurt them ever again. Prove me and see if I will not come through for you. What he does is gold, pure gold. Not brass. Brass is fool's gold. Just watch what I will do for you. Just as Moses brought the children of Israel out, I'm bringing my people out. I'm still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm delivering this nation with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. It will ignite the entire world. People will again know my ways. People are uprising all over the world. right now. They are standing up. They're fighting back against the tyranny. They're saying no. History will record this time as the Dark Ages, the really Dark Ages. Since Satan showed up in the scene in Genesis 3, he's tricked the man and woman out of their place. It has been dark for 6,000 years. 6,000 years of darkness. Many will look back in history and recount the great and terrible day of the Lord. I will shake my people out. The great shaking will set you free. Do not be afraid. Just know that this is necessary. Lord showed me in a dream the three city states, D.C., well, I don't know about London and Vatican, the Vatican, but evidently it's already planned that they're going to be destroyed because they're satanic temples. D.C. is nothing but a big satanic symbol. That phallic symbol, well, we know what that represents. I'm doing what you've been asking me to do. The whole magic kingdom is coming down. The weeding out process has begun. I've started in my house first. The leaders will no longer hinder the growth of my people. I have ordained new leaders full of new wine, and they will lead the people into my ways. My people have been strangled by the weeds. Talking about the great end time harvest is not souls. It's the weeding of the wicked out of the righteous, not the righteous flying away. They will be weeded out of my kingdom. There will be no more tares among the wheat. This is the day of Satan's defeat. You cannot serve two masters. We're going to look at that in the teaching. Because to me, this is where we live. Matthew 6. We'll start with verse 24 there. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is whatever is trusted in other than God. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Carefree. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat. Hey, but isn't that bad for me? Which one? Bad for me? Nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow. Neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? All the stuff we do to improve ourselves, does it really ever make too much difference? I mean, we can paint the fence, but does it really make any difference? Lots of money goes into lots of these kind of things. All of it's self-care. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast to the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? So many people, that's all they think about. From the time they get up to the time they go to bed. Well, I can't eat that. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But what are we supposed to do? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's like renewing your mind with God's word. Jesus is the word. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. If we just did this, then the word would do the correcting and the helping and the healing and the... Yeah, by grace, not by toil. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things should be added unto you. So all these things you're seeking, and when you put God first, then he'll give you all of that because you sought him first. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. You know, through all of this stuff, all the things that are going on, all the stuff about, oh, you better stockpile food and water and do all this stuff to try to survive this horrible thing that's coming. The Lord's not saying do one thing. Not one thing. He didn't tell the children of Israel, well, you know, you better call Patriot Supply and get your how many months worth of extra food. You know, he did it supernaturally. Everything he did for them was supernatural. In fact, their clothes didn't even wear out, it says in Psalms. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. And they did a lot of walking. You cannot serve two masters. Satan's kingdom causes you to take care. God's kingdom is cast your care on me because I care for you. I want to take care of it for you. I'm your father. I want to take care of you. So he wants you to look to him for whatever it is you need. All right, let's look at another scripture. 1 Peter 5. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, I'll wait till you get there. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What does that mean, to humble yourselves, instead of saying, I do it myself? 1 Peter 5, 6. To humble ourselves is to submit to the Word of God. James says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when you submit to God, you're resisting the devil. So he is saying here, humble yourself. In other words, let me take care of you. Quit trying to do it yourself, trying to fix yourself. Quit trying to go get what you want by your own means and your own toil. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I used to do this in the early days when I started teaching. Had people write down their cares on a piece of paper and wad it up and then pitch it in the wastebasket. Cast your care. Don't go get it out of the trash either. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. How? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. We may have to wait a little bit, but it all comes around in the end, and it all works out. Okay, God's word is his medicine. And I'm going to give every one of these, and who doesn't have it can keep them. I know some of you already have them, but we're going to look at some scriptures in the... This is what I use instead of Tylenol or whatever other potion. Elixir, snake oil you might have. This is what I use. And I use it like I would use medication. We're going to look at the scriptures here. Right in the very entrance here, says it describes to us what God's medicine is. My son, attend to my words. What are we talking about? Renewing your mind with God's word. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings, not at the commercials about whatever you're having a problem with. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. This is divine healing. All right, let's go to the back. There's a whole list of scriptures. It's called meditation for meditation for, well, it's called meditation for meditation, but really it's medication for meditation. That's what it says. All right. Surely he hath borne our and carried our sorrows. This is how the Amplified here. I don't read the brackets. Yet ye did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. So Jesus took stripes on his back. And that took all sickness, all disease. Satan doesn't have disease. We were taught that Satan produces diseases, but he doesn't. He didn't produce anything. He just distorts what God has done. So there is no sickness and disease. So what comes against me? Fake news, lies, because you feel it through your emotions. You actually feel it through your emotions. And then when you give heed to it and attention to it, it manifests in your body. So it's not real. It's false evidence appearing real. So as a Christian, what do? We ignore the symptom and we fix our eyes. Right here it says to not let it depart from your eyes in Proverbs 4, the very first one we read. The focus is on the Word of God. How did Jesus combat the devil when he came to him and tempted him? He'd say, it is written. It's written. And it takes a discipline. It's hard at first learning to put aside what you're feeling and honing in on the Word of God, saying, I don't care how I feel. Because if you can get your mind off of the pain or whatever you're experiencing and onto the Word of God, you look up and it'll be gone. See, he's trying to get you to take something because he knows you're made like God, and what you say you can have. That's the way faith works. And so if he can get you to say the bad thing, oh my God, I guess I have this, or I may have that, or the doctor says you have this, and you believe it. My own mother died of lung cancer because she believed the person that said, you've got lung cancer. It's gone 4 months. And Jesus healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet himself, saying, he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So if he already bore them, if he already took them, why do we have to take them? We don't. We can say, no, thank you. By submitting to the Word of God, we're saying, no, thank you. We resist you. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed, not gonna be healed. You were, and you still are, and you will be forever, whether you believe it or not is your own choice. Choose you this day whom you're gonna serve. You can't serve two masters. You can either serve the lying narrative of this world system, or you can believe God. Choice is yours. It's just that simple. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He became a curse that we might live under the blessing. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. His name is Jehovah Rapha. Isn't that right, Rapha? And ye shall serve the Lord your God. Now this is a good one. Now you think about all this here now. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast through young nor be barren in thy land, the number of thy days it will fill. So there's a promise of blessing your food and watering for people that have children that they wouldn't miscarry. Or be infertile. What is Satan doing right now through this scamination, whatever you want to call it? It's targeting young people's reproductive systems so they can't have children because their agenda is genocide. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That don't mean you do everything right. It just means your heart is turned toward God. One time the Lord said to me, I'll pass over 1,000,000 people to get to you if you'll believe my word. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. There's a lot of Chicken Littles running around out there. I'm sorry, I don't want any part of them. There shall no evil befall you, neither any plague come nigh thy dwelling. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I say that psalm every day, Psalms 91. I've been vaccinated, Psalms 91. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases. He sent his word and healed me. I make it personal. This takes a few minutes to read, is all. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You are made in the likeness, the image and likeness of God, Genesis says. So you have the same right to speak your word forth, and it will accomplish the purpose whereto you sent it. So you best be saying what you want. A lot of people are going, you know, I just never get anything I pray for. I just, you know, and all this stuff, you know. Well, they're just negative Nellies all the time, and they don't realize their faith is working perfectly. They're getting everything they say. Poppy, the way he come onto faith was he was supposed to get a job, or he was wanting a job. He was up for a promotion. He kept telling the guy, was he a manager in your office, kind of? He said, you'll get it. I won't get it. He said, well, you got as good a chance as I do getting it. He said, nah, I won't get it. Well, he didn't get it. And one day the Lord said, well, you got just what you said. And he said, you mean that scripture about speaking to your mountains, that means exactly what it says? He says, yeah. You wanted the job, but you kept speaking you aren't going to get the job, and you didn't get the job. You created what you wanted. If ye then, being evil, which means natural, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. He's already said, I will. In fact, the other scripture in Corinthians talks about all God's promises are already yes. Already yes. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You could say sickness is demonic oppression. But it starts in your mind. That's where it starts. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life and have more abundantly. What do you think all these campaigns are for? You know, the pink ribbon campaign is to try to get you to get it. I told that to somebody in a grocery store one day. She's griping because she had to buy a breast cancer shirt. She looked at me like a calf at a new gate, and she'd been going to a spirit-filled faith talk church for many, many, many years. She didn't know what in the world I was talking about. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching and preaching and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So this is what Jesus did. He walked out the kingdom of God. That's what he did. He showed people that this is God's heart towards you. He wants you well. He wants you provided for. Not toiling. Not struggling. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. This is God. This is his nature. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it then, he's already done it. It's now, too. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I'm going to my Father. I can't tell you how many reports I've had over probably the last 20 or so years. I give out these little books, different places as the Lord leads me. I've had people come back to me and talk about how they got healed. Some simple little prayer, lay hands on them, they got healed. I didn't heal them, but I did what the Lord said. You'd lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. We're about the Father's business, right? That's recovering people, helping people, not blackballing people, not making them feel bad about themselves. It's about loving on people and accepting them where they are and helping them find a way to get out of it. The Word's the way out. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you think probably when you go and you try to share the gospel, if you got your Bible, it'll beat them over the head, turn them off? Or do you think if you prayed for them and they got healed, that that might be an easier way, better way? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they should be forgiven him. This is a spiritual matter. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. No matter what we face, God is greater in us. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, financial problems, sickness, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, not what God saith, but what he says, your words, learning to believe your words that God has given you authority. Things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe, act like it, act like you believe it, and you shall receive it. Okay. God's word is his medicine. All right, we're going to read. I'll just continue reading here. The Antichrist beast system that the earth has been enslaving us for 6,000 years is not God's system. No longer do we have to put up with the trickery and the quackery. If you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, it is now time to make him your Lord and healer. A lot of times when Jesus prayed for people, first he'd say, son, your sins are forgiven. Be healed. They go together. They're not separate. Okay. Go look in the back of the book there. Everybody's born again here, right? Everybody's been born again. All right, we're going to use this as to accept the Lord as our healer. All right? All right, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Your word says that cometh to me, he that cometh to me, I'm sorry. Well, in no wise cast out. So I know you won't cast me out. So you take me in, and I thank you for it. You said in your word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be healed. I am calling on your name. So I know you have healed me. Now. You also said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be healed. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto healing. I believe it in my heart.
I believe it in my heart.
Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe he was raised from the dead for my justification.
And healing. And I confess him now. As my Lord. And healer.
In
Jesus' name. All right. All right, let's keep going here. All right, it's a twofold agreement. Jehovah Rapha, there's a couple of scriptures I want to look at in Psalms 30, verse 2. Psalms 30, verse 2 says, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. All right, Psalms 105. I'm pretty fast, matey. Sorry if I... Poppy tells me I'm too fast. Psalms 105, 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among the tribes. This is when they came out of Egypt. They'd been slaves for 400 years. When Jesus came, he showed us the way. Here's how he did it. We're going to look at some scriptures of how Jesus showed them the kingdom. He showed them the way. He showed the way that he wanted us to follow in. Okay, in different areas. This is, first one is John 2. Verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there set six, and there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men shall have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana do, the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Well, there's a story behind that. It was tradition that when a Jewish couple got married, he didn't work the whole first year, so he could get acquainted with his wife. This wine was the best wine, and this wine was probably more than likely sold, and it financed this couple for their first year together. So God cares about your finances, whatever situation you're in. If he cares about your healing, there's all kinds of sickness. Poverty to me is sickness, just in finances. Debt. Yeah. Okay, now let's keep going. John chapter 4. Try to get them kind of in sequence here, with a bit easier to access. 4:43. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath not no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. See, they saw the water changed into wine. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down here, my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word.
that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. And then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. I know they put here that it's a miracle, and yeah, I guess it was to them. But as believers, we should be doing the same thing. This is just natural, the way that a Christian, this is just not, I can't even. It's more speaking by faith, declaring the word, and seeing the word manifest. Of course, everybody think, oh, you know, if God, anything that's ever done, it's always independent of his believers. It's always God that does it. Well, yes, it is, but he has also made us in his image and likeness to speak forth and use our faith. That's why he sent the disciples out, and they could use the name of Jesus, and people got healed. Understand what I'm saying? Taking no glory from God, but he has given us the power also. That's why I said you'd lay hands on the sick and they recover. If you drink anything, it wouldn't hurt you. You could pick up serpents, it said. Well, I don't recommend you try that. But anyway, is it the truth? Yes, it is. We need to understand that we are sons of God. We've been made in his likeness and image, and we need to act like God. We need to act like Jesus. He came to show us the way. Yeah. All right, let's look at John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The religious leaders just got on to him for healing on the Sabbath when they didn't heal on any day. But I mean, he was the Son of Man. Understand this? He took our place. All right, keep going. John 6, starting with verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves we had given thanks and distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered themselves together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Provision. See, this covenant is not just, well, we're saved, we're not going to hell now, thank God. No. It's provision. It's healing. It's anything we need. Is included in salvation. All right, let's keep going. John chapter 9. I had a bunch, but I cut it way down. You're getting the point anyway. John 9, verse 1. And Jesus passed by, saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. He was just about the Father's business. Okay, let's go to the next one, chapter 11. Two or three more on that. If you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're just going to see some of them are repeats, but you see all the things Jesus did when he was here. Then he taught us to do and do greater works than he did. All right, 11, verse 1 here. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the light night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Always some sourpuss in the bunch. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was high unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as he heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Jesus sat still in the house, or Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatever thou ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When he had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned, and his spirit was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a grave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, but this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, If that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Now let me say this. The Holy Spirit's quickened this a couple times to me as I've been talking to you about these things. We have been so used to the system that we're in that we don't know how to depend on God. But the normal way was to depend on God. And what am I saying these scriptures for to you? So you would know that's the way God operates. He has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're going to get to the place that when we need something, the only place we go is to God. And He has a way to meet it. There's a particular area the Lord wants me to hone in on. We'll do it at the end. But anything that's in the system, God has a way. He has a perfect way. What's in the system is a counterfeit. And that's all we've known because even the church has adopted the counterfeit. He wants us to know the real thing. And then, you know, Jesus knew the real thing, so he spread the real thing. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to spread the real thing. It is good news, you know. I can't think of much better news than raising somebody from the dead or getting somebody healed or feeding a multitude when you don't have any money and there's no McDonald's near. Or you're out of something and supernaturally reproduces. See, this is the kingdom of God. All right. There's many more examples that I could read, but I won't read any more. I think you get the point. We've seen financial provision, multiplication of food, dead raised up, those that were sick healed. Everything that touches our lives right here, Jesus did. Food, healing, supply. He was even concerned that the married couple had a nice year to get acquainted. Had provision. All right. It doesn't matter what we need, He will supply it. This is Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, it's not going to fall from the sky. But you can call for it. He's the God that calls those things to be not as though they were. That's what faith does. We make a request. We call for it. He said, ask anything in my name, I will do it. If any two of you agree, Mandy knows that one for sure. She's had lots of those answered. Any two of you agree, is that anything you shall ask, it shall be done to my Father who is in heaven. It didn't come from heaven. It came. It was all the resources. Now, I told you about the garden. He put the man in the garden. He made the garden. He put all the riches and all the stuff in the garden so man would be sufficient in the garden. It's in the earth, what you're asking for. That's why you plant your seed, your promise, what you're standing on. And we've been talking a few weeks about living off harvest instead of by the sweat of our brow. What you receive is based on what you give. Say you're planting seed in the ground. The parable of the sower says, it's the kingdom of God is as if a man put a seed in the ground. Well, healing seed, financial seed, whatever you need. Okay. All right. God is not stopped by food shortages. Not stopped by anything. There is no limits to what He'll do. If He could feed 40 grippy multitude of people for 40 years, 40 fed them, clothed them, wear out, they weren't sick. He didn't tell them to prepare and stockpile before He came out of Egypt. What'd they do? They took communion, which is a symbol of Passover, which is, it's Passover. It's what is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. See, it was a type and shadow. All right, let's look at a few more. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The Lord wants us to get so, like it said, second nature will be, we do what, it's just automatic. We just turn to the kingdom of God and do it kingdom way. It's Father's house. Okay, he wants us to live carefree. Let's look at Mark 11 right quick. We read it a while ago, but when we have a situation and a circumstance come up, this is the way we handle it. Verse 22 says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, which we know God's given us the measure of faith. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this is the problem that you face, be removed, be thou cast into the sea, and they don't doubt in their heart, but believe that those things which they say shall come to pass, they shall have whatever they say. Pretty simple. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe. When I get it, I'll believe it. No, you believe it that moment and act like you have it that moment. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This is God's way. When you see something you don't like, change it. I remember facing a situation a few years ago, upset. I couldn't hardly eat. My stomach hurt for a solid week over the situation. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and confessed and everything. The Lord said, change the law. I'm going, what? Change the law. Rules, regulations, and laws change to my advantage when necessary in the name of Jesus. If you don't like the law, change it. We're speaking all hundreds of changes right now into the country with our petitions, our supplement list. We've gone from petition to proclamation. We're proclaiming. We're speaking to mountains all over this nation. And we've seen changes. We write it down. We document it, put the date when it changes. We're changing it. We're the ones that have been given authority in the earth, not the deep state. All right, I want to read something to you. If there's anyone here that's having problems with teeth issues, gum issues, that's really what I want to deal with today, but this can be for anything. I want to read something to you. I thought it was so cool. When I saw this, I thought, Lord, just a minute, let me find it. Here it is. I'm reading a book called Confronting the Powers by C. Peter Wagner. And the Lord has dealt with us about spiritual mapping. What spiritual mapping is like I would just said. There's something that's not right, so the Lord gives you a strategy to pray against that thing, to change it. Let me read this to you. This is called Credible Witnesses. How then do we do it? In the final analysis, we validate the authenticity of reported narratives on the basis of the credibility of those who observe them or experience them. For example, beginning in the early 1970s, I suffered severe headaches for 10 consecutive years. It was so bad that at one point I had no relief from the pain at all for 70 days and 70 nights. No available painkiller could stop the headaches. Then in 1983, John Wimber received a rhema word from God that the root cause of my headaches had been a demon that I was to drive out myself rather than ask someone else to do it for me. I obeyed. I cast the demon out in the name of Jesus, and I have not suffered any such headache since that day. For the last several years, I have traveled frequently to Argentina and Brazil. I've talked to many people who have had their teeth filled by the power of God, including some who have had gold bridges removed and replaced, and some who have seen new teeth grow into places where former teeth have been extracted. I have personally looked into enough mouths and cross-examined enough people who have experienced divine dental work to be completely convinced beyond any doubt that this miracle has happened and is happening with considerable frequency in those two nations. Most mouths I have looked into in Brazil have had teeth miraculously filled, not with a white substance such as in Argentina, but with gold. Pastors such as Pablo De Rose, a Baptist PhD, whom we have recently added to our faculty at the Fuller Seminary School of World Mission, tell almost as a matter of routine that many of their congregation have had their teeth filled. It is no more unusual to them than seeing God healing broken marriages or of sinners being born again. A book published not too long ago, which made the bestseller list for many weeks, referred specifically to my reports of tooth fillings and declared that such reports are preposterous. The same person might also have regarded the story of the demon causing my headache as equally preposterous. What can I say? I mean, when you see the proof, doesn't that tell you that God, He has provision for His people no matter what it might be? That we don't have to go back to the vomit like a dog to the vomit. We don't have to. God has a way for everything we need. We've just been so used to depending on the system and going to this quack and that quack with their brew, their witch's brew, Big Pharma. And they've got an agenda to kill us, steal from us, destroy. Okay. All right. Let me find my other thing here. Oh, here it is. All right, we're going to break some bloodline curses. This week I had an issue dealt with off and on for years. I said, well, what can I do about this? He said, bloodline curse. So I broke it, bloodline curse. A bloodline curse is something that's passed. You know, this. My grandpa had it, you know. My dad had it, and I have it, and my kid have it. Demonic. These are demonic. They pass from generation to generation. Well, we have to break those curses. Yeah, eyes. I mean, there's all a bunch. Here's some, and if, you know, as I'm reading these out, you claim that for you, and we're going to pray, okay? She lists here, this is Marilyn Hickey, breaking generational curses. If I don't, I may not hit the one you want, but you just, if something comes to you, well, you can speak it. All right, these are action and blessings. They're curses and blessings. The action here is the curses and blessings, breaking it. The curse is general ill health or general health. All right, the blessing. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Surely it's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We've read all these scriptures. But the first curse here is abdominal pain. Like stomach issues, digestive problems, adultery. Fornication is any kind of sexual problem, anything that's outside of God's order. The blessing here. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Reproofs of instruction of the way of life to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattering of the tongue of the strange woman, lust not after her beauty in your heart. Here's another, alcoholism. It says here, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. See, if you're having trouble in these areas, there's scriptures here that you counter those influences that are coming in your life. We all have them. Here's another one, arthritis. Right here, behold, thou hast instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling. And thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet. See, we should be viable and fruit-producing, it says, even in old age. Not give in to old age thing. All right, here's another one. Asthma and colds. Here's another one. Argumentative nature. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Someone comes to mind. Anyway, back pain. Backsliding. K-
can't ever seem to stay on the straight and narrow. I remember Brother Hagin had a brother, and his brother couldn't hold down a job, and he was just nasty. Well, one day the Lord showed Brother Hagin that he had three demon spirits that followed him.
That was his son-in-law.
Oh, his son-in-law. Buddy. Okay, buddy. Anyway, as when the Lord showed him how to do it, he broke the power of those spirits off of him, and he became a best Christian you ever knew and got a job, and he was under an influence that caused him to act a certain way and do a certain thing and didn't even know it. All right, backsliding. Bone disease or blood disease, leukemia, abnormal blood pressure or diabetes. Bone disease, broken bones. I've had the Lord heal broken bones in me. I had a toe probably last year sometime. I think I broke it and it was swelled up, was purple for months and months and months and months and months. It's fine now. I broke something in my shoulder a few years ago. It's healed, you know. God healed it. I didn't go to the witch doctor. Burns, cancer, condemnation. If you're somebody that just suffers under that condemnation. Just demonic attack. You know, we have to stand up against the wiles of the devil. This is a good one, Ephesians 6. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, see, the Word of God. We started out with this. This is all about the Word of God. All right, dishonesty. You're just a liar. Not you, but you know what I'm saying. Eye and ear problems. Can't hear, can't see. Fatigue, infirmity, and weakness. Fearfulness and shyness. Fear of man. Fear of old age. There's all kinds. Feet trouble. Foolish speech. Just foolishness, period. Hand problems. Hatefulness. Headaches and migraines, heart disease, inferiority complex, infertility, insomnia, can't sleep, lack of faith, mental disorders, mouth, lip, and tongue problems, muscular dystrophy and multiple sclerosis, negative self-image, nervous condition, occult practices, oppression. That'd be like depression and all that kind of things. Palsy and strokes, poisoning, poverty, profanity, rebellious children, sadness and sorrow, selfishness and greed, self-consciousness, smoking, sorrow, ulcers, unforgiveness and bitterness, unsafe family, unsafe loved ones, untimely death, unworthiness, wounds, worries and frustration. These are all things that plague, you know, people. And so there are scriptures for all of these things to speak. But right now, in the name of Jesus, we're going to break some curses. We're going to break bloodline curses. This is Galatians 3. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 13, Galatians 3:13, sorry. Okay. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. And if you want to read further about curses, you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it talks about all the curses, all the blessings, and then all the curses. But we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's what Jesus did. He took away the curse. And so right now, whatever things in your life that plague you, that keep you from being able to, the areas that you struggle in, we can break those off in Jesus' name. All right? Won't y'all stand up? We'll do that.
Let me keep this running.
Yeah.
Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you today that because you went to the cross and you took everything on your body for us, Lord, we don't have to suffer with these things, these curses, these bloodline curses. In the name of Jesus, I come against, from mother's side, father's side, every bloodline curse that plagues every person here today. We break it, we sever it, we cover it with the blood of Jesus, and we decree from this day forward that they will not suffer from these things. And Lord, if the thing tries to come back, then we lift up the shield of faith and the Word of God. We bring the Scripture before them, Galatians 3:13, saying, no, you have no hold on me anymore, you have no power over me anymore, and you cannot influence my life, you demonic entity, in the name of Jesus. You resist the devil with the Word of God, and he will flee. Okay, if you have something in your mouth you need prayed for, I'll pray for that. Everybody okay? All right. That's good to hear. Well, anyway, you can claim it, huh? Okay. All right, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Well, yeah, we all need restoration teeth. All of you get up here. Come on. We all need restoration in our mouths and teeth. Let's just hold hands. I'll just pray.
We've all had dental work.
We all need replaced, you know, those old stuff we don't want in our mouth. Okay. Thank you, Lord, today that you've restored us, Lord. Spirit, soul, and body, we receive it right now through our teeth and our gums and our sinuses. It's all connected. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we receive complete and total restoration. Gums, teeth, filling our teeth with good things. Thank you, Lord. We all have a set of teeth in our mouth and set of gums in our mouth. It looks like a model. It's so perfect. It's like no problems. And we just thank you for that. And if you need to fill teeth, Lord, just fill them right now with your gold. Lord, anything that's not right, correct it. Bone structure, sinus cavities, anything connected to that system, we just claim it right now. And thank you that it is corrected, it is healed. I call it healed right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving Jackie a whole new mouth and new teeth right now in the name of Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, that we don't have to go to the system, but we can depend on you to take care of us. You want to take care of us, and we completely cast our care on you, and we receive everything that you have already paid for us to have. We receive all our benefits in you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Well, no, I have some more if everybody's, are y'all tired? Are y'all ready to quit? Or